Thursday, April the 2nd, 2015. Maundy Thursday evening service. Talk title, Feet Washing and Getting Your Hands Dirty by Roger Whip. Reading is taken from John chapter 13, verses 1 to 17. Jesus washes his disciples' feet. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God, and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, and he took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and he returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, but that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." At the American Revolution, a man in civilian clothes rode past a group of soldiers repairing a small defensive barrier. The leader was shouting instructions, but making no attempt to help them. Asked why by the rider, he retorted with great dignity, "Sir, I am a corporal." The stranger apologized and dismounted and proceeded to help the exhausted soldiers. The job done, he turned to the corporal and said, "Mr. Corporal, next time you have a job like this and not enough men to do it, go to your commander-in-chief and I will come and help you again." It was none other than George Washington. I asked the question, how well do we know our commander-in-chief? Jesus. Do we allow him to help in the many battles that we face throughout our lives? Do we fully understand the amount of the other titles that he has and the ability and desire to fulfill them? For example, just to name a few, Jesus the Good Shepherd, Jesus the Redeemer, Jesus the Provider, Jesus the Healer, Jesus, the Bread of Life, and Jesus, the Servant King, our theme tonight. Today's reading is probably a very familiar passage for us. This week, I'm sure that soap manufacturers' profits rise as many churches reenact this feet washing event. Most of the sermons I've heard on this subject place an emphasis on the humility of Jesus. However, his humility in this act is just part of the story. I believe that our Bible passage is more to do with rolling up your sleeves and getting your hands dirty and just cleaning your feet. Sadly, Christians can be like that corporal and perhaps most politicians. They talk the talk, but seldom walk the walk. You know, Jesus is the perfect servant king who kept his word, who always fulfills his promise. A man and his wife were awakened at 3 o'clock in the morning by a loud pounding on the back door. The man gets up and he goes to the door where a drunken stranger standing in the pouring rain is asking for a push. "Not a chance," says the husband. "It's 3 o'clock in the morning." He slams the door and he returns to bed. "Who is that?" asked his wife. "Just some drunk asking for a push," he answered. "Did you help him?" she asked. "No, I did not. It's 3 o'clock in the morning and it's pouring of rain outside." His wife said, "Don't you remember about 3 months ago when we broke down and those two guys helped us? I think you should help him. And you should be ashamed of yourself." The man, being an obedient husband, does what he's told and he gets dressed and he goes down into the pouring of rain. He calls out into the dark, "Hello? Are you still there?" "Yes," comes back the answer. "Do you still need a push?" calls out the husband. "Yes, please," comes the reply from the darkness. "Where are you?" asks the husband. Back comes the reply. "Over here, on the swing." Okay, it's a funny story, but seriously, it's strange how often some of us conveniently forget acts of kindness or generosity bestowed on us, and maybe we should reciprocate such deeds. At Easter, we celebrate the greatest deed a man can give. What greater gift that a man lays down his life that we might live? However, could we repay that deed? Maybe a little bit by acts of service. I requested that our reading be extended by a few verses to emphasise the importance that we're called not just to be served, but to serve following an example set by Jesus. One of my roles in the police force, the police service, was that I was part of the public order team, which is used in riots or where there's a serious threat to public disorder. We all had to be trained to a high level of crowd control, which included the use of various types of riot shields and shield formations. One of which involved the use of 7 officers joining their shields together, 3 at the front, 2 at the sides, and 2 holding their shields on top to act as a roof. This formation was known as a tortoise. It's based on the way the Roman soldiers should use their shields. Now, it's called the tortoise because it enclosed us in a hard, protective shell. All 7 had to rely on each other to link up correctly. 1 error, and we could all be vulnerable to serious injury if attacked. One way our instructors tested our effectiveness was to drop an old fridge on top of us from about 30 foot. I guess in this day and age of health and safety, this test is no longer used, but I can assure you that every team member made sure they played their role to perfection. I mention this as an illustration of working together, serving each other. And God can only make this church stronger. Just as it was all hands to the pump to fill the gap in that defensive wall in my earlier illustration, There are many gaps that need filling here at St. Chad's. We need musicians, workers for our children and our youth, people to help clean the church. You know, nobody has offered to take over the men's ministry, which I gave up 3 years ago after doing it for 11 years. Sadly, we do have a few corporals in our fellowship. They are the minority, I'm pleased to say. You know, they seem to say a lot, but do little. When we come into this church, what do we expect? To be served or to serve? I think the answer should be both. Are we willing to be humble enough to receive help and healing, but generous enough to give either our time or our money to the service of the fellowship, and more importantly, to God? Who can remember Are You Being Served? A sitcom that ran from 1972 to 1985. It was set in a very old-fashioned Grace Brothers department store. The programme deals with the working life of the staff of the ladies and gents outfitting departments. And the title comes from the idea that when customers come into Grace Brothers, they are asked, "Are you being served?" When it comes to Christianity, are you the one asking? Are you being served? Or are you the one to whom the question is asked? Christians should be like these characters in the department store and ask, "Are you being served?" Many times Christians believe that they are the customers. As Christians, we are not the customers. We should be the service workers. Many ask, "Where can I get the best deal?" instead of, "Where can I serve?" We are the Mr. Humphreys and Mrs. Slocums of the world. Who can remember Mr. Humphreys' catchphrase? "I'm free!" You know, as Christians, we need to echo these words. I'm free. Free to serve my Lord and Saviour. Also, we need to tell the world that in Christ, I'm free. We can be free of sin and guilt, free from addiction, free from anger, bitterness, free from the fear of death. Why? Because of what happened on Good Friday, the next day after the feet washing. I don't suppose it felt a Good Friday for Jesus. Crucifixion must be the most painful of deaths. But believe me, it was a Good Friday for all who turned to Christ. His death gave us life. Jesus didn't wash his disciples' feet just to get them to be nice to each other. Instead, he wanted to extend his mission on earth after he was gone. The disciples were moving to the world serving God, serving each other, and serving all people to whom they took the message of salvation. Again, going back to my opening illustration, it's important to grasp that nobody should think too highly of themselves, that they reject doing lowly tasks. All ministries and tasks are important to a successful church. Whilst at one of my previous churches, yes, I preached once a month, but I also cleaned a church once a month, being on a cleaning rota. A large group of European pastors came to one of D.L. Moody's Northfield Bible conferences in Massachusetts in the late 1800s. Following the European custom of the time, each guest put his shoes outside his room to be cleaned by the hall servants overnight. But of course this was America, and there were no hall servants. Walking the dormitory halls that night, Moody saw the shoes and, determined not to embarrass his brothers, he mentioned the needs to some ministerial students who were there, but met with only silence or pious excuses. Moody returned to the door when he gathered up the shoes, and alone in his room, the world's only famous evangelist at that time, began to clean and polish the shoes. Only the unexpected arrival of a friend in the midst of the work revealed the secret. When the foreign visitors opened their doors the next morning, their shoes were lovely and clean and shiny. They never had shined them. Moody told nobody, but his friend told a few people, and during the rest of the conference, different men volunteered to shine the shoes in secret. Perhaps the episode is a vital insight to why God used Dale Moody as he did. He was a man with a servant's heart, and that was the basis of his true greatness. Although I'm sure that he would be the first to admit that he's not perfect, one of Martin's strengths is that he's prepared to roll up his sleeves and to get stuck in. Whether that be filling in as a worship leader or knocking down walls or even washing up. Now, sometimes I worry that he takes on too much. We don't want to burn him out. Sadly, I have met some clergy who consider themselves exempt from such things. However, any good leader such as George Washington or Dale Moody or even Martin, our vicar, will and should lead by example, such as Christ did in our reading. To close, I want to finish with one more true story about President Ronald Reagan when he was in hospital healing from when he'd been shot. One day, his vice president walked into the room to find him on his hands and knees wiping up water. The vice president said, "Mr. President, they'll take care of that." He meant that the people at the hospital would clean it up. And all President Reagan had to do was to call and they would hurry in. But the president said, no, if they come in and see it, the nurse will be blamed for it. I don't want the nurse to be blamed. She didn't do it. I did. You know, we have all spilt something in our lives, either physically or metaphorically. But I hope this common little spill story by the President of the United States becomes a story of humility, that we can all understand that it never hurts for us to take a part in cleaning up our own mess. However, as we start to celebrate the most important event in Christianity, let's also never forget that whatever mess we cause in our lives, there's hope and healing through the sacrifice and blood of Christ. We are washed as white as snow. I leave you with these thoughts about service. Why in the world would you give your hard-earned money to a church? Why would you volunteer to teach children or to lead worship or to clean the building? You'd only do it if you had a vision of what it means to your Lord and Saviour. Matthew 25 verse 40 says this, "And the king," that is Jesus, "will answer and say to them, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" Amen.